All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. May 19th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you're at. Monday morning, beautiful day. Just got done running. A little walking, a little of both. Great way to start the day. I have been a little off on my exercising because we've had, my son's been in town and we've just had a crazy few days. My ex-father-in-law passed away. I don't know. I think I did talk about it, but we had the big funeral on Friday. I took the day off. My oldest son came down from University of Delaware and went to the funeral with us. And it's just, you know, it's been an emotional few days. Had the funeral on Friday morning and had a little gathering afterwards, which was always, you know, it's unfortunate with funerals like that because, you know, clearly someone has passed, but it brings a lot of folks together. And it was great to catch up with a lot of people. This was my ex-father-in-law, my ex-wife, and we were married 7 years and we had a, you know, we had a great relationship. It's hard being married to someone sober, especially me. And I think I've shared, love her boyfriend. He's a great guy. You know, I love their relationship. My wife and I love their relationship. We're friends, right? Someone said, you're going to the funeral of your ex-father-in-law? And I go, yeah. Yeah, he's a fucking hero, man. This guy's amazing, great guy. What a life, right? Three kids, multiple grandkids, surrounded by love, and what a hero. In military academy, just really, you know, they don't make them like that. And so it was great. Listen, I give it all the credit to recovery. You know, I always told my wife, listen, if we can't be married, I'm going to be the best ex-husband I can be. And I think I've held up my side, and we have a great relationship. Our son is happy. He was just awesome. And but, you know, I ran into a lot of folks, friends and people I hadn't seen, and friends and family, and ran into a buddy of mine. Couple, you know, it's funny when you're the sober guy because people either avoid you, right, or you know, they come and talk to you. You know, I mean, it's not black and white like that, but, you know, there was a buddy of mine that I've known. In fact, it was my, you know, the brother, the sister, the uncle, right, the somewhere down the family tree there of a husband of one of the daughters, right, and he's a partier, and he's always been a partier, and he came up to me at the meet, at the lunch after the funeral, and he's like, yeah, I haven't had a drink for a month. And I was like, that's freaking awesome, man, you know? I was proud of him. I know what that first month is like. It is hard. Actually, the first month is probably pretty easy, you know, because it's all pretty fresh and stuff. But anyway, it was just great to catch up with him and you know, just to show up and be friends. It was funny, I ran into my old boss. it's a trip how everybody's connected, but I ran into my old boss, and I ran into some old clients. Ran into a client of mine that her and I had a disagreement. She stormed out. We saw each other, gave each other a big hug, you know. That's one of the cool things about recovery, right? It's that, you know, I don't want to walk without, you know, having to look over my shoulder or with the smell of burning bridges, right?
Thank you.
Hallow Be Thy Name, Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, one of the greatest freaking albums ever. I'll never forget when that album came out. I was primed and ready for it. I was such a kid. I was probably 7th, 8th grade when that album came out. Man, what a freaking beautiful freaking album. But yeah, so it's been an interesting few days. Took some time off, took Friday off, threw off my whole schedule. I've had an emotional week when my ex-wife called me. We had talked, you know, we talk. And like I said, we get along just fine. My wife and her get along. Everybody gets along. I love Eric, her boyfriend. He's awesome. My son loves him. Everybody loves each other, right? It's all just one big happy family, and that's perfect. So, you know, talking to my ex every once in a while about her father, and, you know, as my father isn't doing very well either, you know, the conversation, how's your dad, da-da-da, and always concerned about Sam and losing one of his grandparents, and that's, you know, that's always a real thing. So, but we had been talking, and her dad wasn't doing well, then we thought he was doing well, and then all of a sudden, you know, she calls me, and she's like, you know, he passed, and that was on Sam's birthday. I definitely talked about that, but, you know, it's when she told me, man, I was at work, and I became very emotional. I mean, crying. I was crying, and I really don't cry. But I tell you what, when it's emotional and crying wants to happen, that shit happens. And I was crying, and I felt bad, and but we got through it. It was a beautiful service. I only hope that many people, a quarter of those people would show up. When I pass away, I feel like I was doing something. But, you know, he was a great guy. And so, you know, we did all that and got through it. But I tell you what, it's been a tough week for old boy. You know, I'm going to state it right now, man. I'm just not perfect. I love recovery. I love discussing it. I love talking about how to be perfect. What it takes to be perfect, but I am not there yet. And, you know, I've shared before, there's a buddy of mine that's in the program, and him and I, we bump heads. I don't know. It's only one person I have problems with, and it's him. And we've actually gotten through most of it. You know, I got to cut him some slack, and I got to, you know, I'd like to say cut myself some slack. I definitely need to cut him some slack because, actually, I don't know if I need to cut him some slack. You know, we are who we are, but him and I, for some reason over the years, we have gotten into it, and, I don't understand, you know, I'd like to say, I don't understand. It is what it is, but we've gotten to a good place, right? We've been in a good place, and I am, you know, I always make an effort to, when I see him, shake his hand, how you doing, buddy? And I ran into him. I went to the meeting on Wednesday, and I don't know, man. I don't know if it's because of the funeral. I don't know if I'm just an asshole. You know, I've talked about all of the tricks of the trade, trying to find serenity and peace and not be affected by other people, but, you know, sometimes, you know, the right combination comes at me, and voila, the genie appears. And, you know, that sort of happened on Wednesday. I had gone to the meeting, and also, you know, we had a freaking business meeting. And I don't want to, I'm not looking for reasons to blame my behavior, but, you know, it could have been a few things. But the point is, I was leaving the meeting. We're at that point in our, at the time around here is when, you know, when we go to meetings, I'm wearing my sunglasses, and I'm, when you leave, it's dark. And for some reason, I had worn my sunglasses and was walking out with my sunglasses on because I couldn't see. I mean, it was dusk, right? It wasn't pitch black. And a buddy of mine was out there. He's like, hey, look at here comes the rock star, right? Just, you know, being funny, being joking. Here comes the rock star. And I laughed. And then the buddy, my friend, who I always get into it with, is like, yeah, rock star in his own mind. Yeah, I don't know why, but that just pissed me off because I didn't need it for some reason to hear from him. And I started this podcast by saying I am not perfect, so I'm going to fall under that umbrella because I am not perfect, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing all the time, but the fact is, that's what he said. And I was like, you know, I thought, you know, here we go again with these comments. It's always a comment. Now, I may be, and I've been accused of this, I might be too sensitive. And I don't know how to fix that, to be honest. Because I tell you, when he said that, it really fucking annoyed me. I'm like, God, here we go with these comments, right? And we're talking, and I can hear him saying something, you know, something busting my balls. And I'm like, you know, I'm out of here. And he put his hand out. I go, I'm not shaking this motherfucker's hand. And I walked away. Oops. Well, I got a fucking phone call. I got a text from him telling me what a piece of shit I am and how I'm arrogant and all this shit. And I got real issues. And he really, I mean, the amount of material that he put in that text was a little concerning because I, you know, one of the things I said to him in texting back, I'm like, I'm sorry that I upset you so much. Like, you're really, this is a, you know, this is a thing. I mean, you really have it laid out here of what a piece of shit I am. And you know, I had to immediately, I'm like, fuck you, right? Because I'm not a piece of shit. And I told him, and, you know, him and I had gotten into it before, and he said, listen, man, you know, I got a few people I bust balls with, and, you know, I just forget, you know, sometimes when I talk to the people, they're not part of that group, and they might, you know, take it to offense or whatever, so, you know, I'm sorry. And I was like, So when he got all fired up and pissed off because I said that, I wrote back, I go, I was just joking, man, I didn't realize you were so sensitive, and I wanted to write, you know, I have a group of friends that I bust balls with, and I forgot you're not one of them, so I apologize. I did refrain from writing that. But, you know, I was pretty firm in holding my ground because at that moment, right, I had a justified resentment, and I acted out. And, you know, at some point, I'm just like, fuck it, I'm digging my heels in, right? I'm not finding humility right now. I'm possessed right now. I was telling a guy, a sponsor who came over on Sunday. I go, you know, I always try to stay in the hands of God, right in that, like the bowl of God, but I slopped out. I flopped out and landed on the floor like a fish out of water. And there wasn't shit I could do about it. And I sort of just locked in and I was like, you know, this is how I feel. And, you know, he really let me have it. And so, you know, Think, right? What I thought at that time seemed like the right thing to do. And if I, you know, just to say, I don't know why I called him motherfucker. It came out of my mouth. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, I don't know why that came out of my mouth. Immediately, I didn't regret it, but I regretted it, right? It seemed kind of, I think my intentions were, what it looked like, right, from the director's point of view, right, was like, I ain't shaking this bitch's hand because, you know, he'd been giving me shit and I was just going to walk away. But for some reason, I'm like, I ain't shaking this motherfucker's hand. And I walked away with his hand sticking out there. And that was very disrespectful. And I knew it and I felt terrible about it. But I wasn't going to crack. And, you know, that night, the next morning, I got a big ass text about how bad a person I was. How arrogant I was and all this stuff. And at first I was like, God, he's so full of shit. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought he was right. And just, I have to say, I regretted what I said. I should have never said that. It wasn't appropriate. It didn't have the effect I thought, right? I was trying to be funny, I guess, clever. And that's not good either. You know, I hate that. When people are funny and clever at my expense, I hate that. And so I was doing the exact same thing that I hated, and it bit me immediately. And I said the next day, I go, listen, man, I was joking around with you. If I had the opportunity to do that again, I would not have chosen those words. And for that, I apologize. And I said, honestly, man, I really felt like me and I were in a pretty good spot. Because we are. We've gone over the years, right, we've worked through these hiccups and this built-in animosity that him and I have for one another is, for some reason, I can't seem to fix it, so it just flares up every once in a while. But, you know, we were in a pretty good spot, and I wrote that in the text, and I was like, man, I apologize. I don't even know what came over me. And then, of course, my sponsee came over on Sunday. We had a meeting, but we usually have a meeting with both guys, and one of them went to the big Def Leppard concert down in Ocean City this weekend. So it was just one of them and I, and, you know, and I shared, you know, I told him, you know, it's always important for me to tell these guys that I sponsor that I am no better. In fact, I feel worse. I feel worse than my sponsees lately. I've had a few incidents. One, sharing that I was not going to go to the business meeting, right? I had to make an amends to the group and to my sponsees. And then, obviously, this, which I am embarrassed about. But it's funny what thoughts did come up in my mind of, you know, and part of me, you know, I don't think it's a good position, but there are parts of me, there are times where I just don't know if I can be as perfect as this program asked me to be. And I know it says progress, not perfection, but I would like to be better. But there are moments, right, that aren't, and they come up, and it's unfortunate. And when that happens, this wolf, right, this spirit, this devil, whatever it is, right, the wolves, they're always freaking looming, man. And this wolf's like, you know, this sort of situation, because, like, you know, I'm like, you know, fuck this program. I'm fucking sick of this shit. I'm sick of these fucking people like this. And it starts trying to separate you from the damn group again. It's always I don't even know. It's like an old village. It's constantly being under attack. That's how I feel. And this was another attack. And I had two options. I could dig my heels in and play the victim of him treating me bad and him deserving what I said. Or option two, right? I could make amends and really take a hard look at what he said. And probably 75%, maybe it was all true. But the one thing he said to me is that you're an arrogant asshole. And he said, you should pick up your meetings. Like, I need to go to more meetings. And I was like, oh. And I talk about being arrogant, right, all the time. Arrogant is a spirit. Arrogance. And when arrogance shows up, arrogance, all you need is a little inconvenience, and it will bring up arrogance. And all bets are off at that point. And I had to take a look. Was I being arrogant? And I was, right? And if I was going to look at it and try to figure out what it was, you know, him making that comment was inconvenient to me. And I don't even know. Maybe the business meeting was inconvenient, even though I tried to have the best attitude, you know, the best attitude about it. And but after the step meeting, you know, or I mean, after the business meeting, we came out, and that's when he said it, and that's when I kind of, you know, said what I said. Maybe it was the inconvenience of that. Maybe the inconvenience of him saying it. But there was, at some point, inconvenience and arrogance showed up. And I said, I'm not shaking this motherfucker's hand. And that is arrogant. He was right. I should never have said that. That is something I should never have said. But I said it. And, you know. Like I said, I met with my sponsee, and I go, buddy, you and I are the same. We both woke up today. We both got the same amount of time. I may have a little more experience, but I'm just as capable of being a fucking dipshit. And, but it's important. And like him and I shared or talked yesterday, and I go, like I've said many times, this program isn't to help us stop drinking. It's to help us not drink again. Right? And what does that even look like? I've shared when I drank the last time, it wasn't because I was, you know, I fell over in a pile of vodka bottles. No, because I didn't like the way they collected the money. And I use that as an example. And it's funny because I shared that in meetings before. And this guy's like, I think you changed the time we collect the money at the meeting because it was inconvenient for you or something. I'm like, dude, no, I just share that as an example of ways that the wolves separate us from the herd, right? It's not, you know, it ain't that big of a deal. It's not, you know, the point of the whole story is that it isn't because, you know, I'm out doing vodka tasting, right? It's the stupid things that I never planned on dealing with that is the thing that separated me from the group. right? I never have once been, you know, and by the way, right, be aware and be warned that one day you may not like the way they collect the money. And you may justify leaving the meeting. And that's exactly what happened. Nobody told me. I wasn't prepared for that. So, but, you know, the whole point is that, you know, it's always about being separated and being willing. And like I said, I could have gone in two different directions, lock in my heels and said, you know what, I don't give a shit. And I sort of had that. I'm like, you know what, Jim, don't talk to me anymore. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Steer clear of me. This is all sick, right? And he's like, you're not going to talk to me anymore. Fucking, you know, he really is going off. And I was like, so, like I said, I ended up texting him, sort of gave him a half-assed apology about, you know, if I had it to do over, I wouldn't do that. And for this, I apologize. But after speaking with my sponsee yesterday and we talked about it, and, you know, I realized what I have to do. I got to call him and I need to make an amends. And I did that. I called him yesterday after my sponsee left and he didn't answer. And of course I'm like, he's avoiding my call. This is what I think. The wolves. He's avoiding your call. Fuck him. He said, I'm not paying attention to you. Let it ring. His answering machine answered. And I said, hey, Jim, it's Tom. I just need to apologize. I apologize for what I said. It was inappropriate and uncool and not necessary. And, you know, you calling me arrogant was probably right. I don't know what it was, but something happened and it just, you know, and regardless, I apologize. You know, you didn't deserve that. You're a good friend of mine. We're in a good place. And, you know, I hope you can forgive me. And I'm really sorry. And I hung up. And, you know, that's the right thing to do. Because I can tell you what was starting to happen is I was starting to become a victim of my own stupidity. And the first night that it happened, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Over and over and over in my head. I shouldn't have done that. How come I shouldn't have done it? How am I going to find or shape this in a way that shows that I'm glad that I did it? Right? Because I do that a lot too. You know, I'll do something stupid and then I'll try to justify it. And that doesn't work either. So it was really on my mind. And then, so that was Wednesday. Thursday, I thought about it, you know, went to work, bickered back and forth, a little bit on some texting. And then, you know, Friday was at the funeral and Saturday I worked. And then, you know, yesterday I made the phone call. But the whole time I was dwelling on it and it was eating me up and I was becoming a victim of my own stupidity, right? I couldn't let it go. And my sponsee was coming over. We chatted about, you know, the sixth step. And I was telling him about how, you know, Drop the Rock is a great book, and, you know, the story of Mary trying to get to Serenity Island and the boat's already left, right? And they're yelling, Mary, drop the rock. She's trying to swim to the boat so she can get to Serenity Island, and she's drowning, and she's got rocks, you know, around her neck. And they're like, drop the rocks, Mary. You're going to drown if you don't drop the rocks. And she's, you know, and finally, I guess she drops the rocks and makes it to the boat to get to Serenity Island. Well, I was drowning. I had these rocks around my neck, and it was character defects, bad behavior, and unjustified, you know, behavior. And I had to drop them. And the only way I could drop them was to say, I'm sorry. And because once I say that, once I call him and say, listen, buddy, I apologize. Now I've taken responsibility, right? Now I've found humility, and now the freaking devils and the wolves have left. They're like, shit, you know, we'll be back. Right? It's a Game of Thrones, man. They'll be back. We'll be back. Well, it was the good one this time, but we'll be back. And they will be back in some other form, some other situation, some relationship. It may be back with Jim, right? Maybe another incident with him. You know, my dad is in the VA, I've shared, and some people from his past, his old friends, called last night, and, you know, they're like, we were coming up from Dags or Nag's Head, wherever they're at, and they're going home to their house up in the Northeast, and they wanted to stop by and see my dad. You know, they were good friends of my mom and dad for many years, and, you know, partied, and They wanted to come by and see my dad for the last time because her husband, George, he's getting really 90. And there will not be any more driving down this way. And so they wanted one last goodbye. I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. I said, yeah, let me know. I'll meet you. And they're like, all right, thank you so much. We're so excited. And I'm like, so great. And I call my dad. I'm like, so-and-so's coming. And he's excited. And I get a text this morning and say, we're not going to come because we think it'll be too uncomfortable with the condition of your father. And I'm like, well, what the fuck did you tell me that for then? I wouldn't have told my dad you were coming, right? I got all pissed off. I mean, I did tell my dad last night. I'm like, you know, these people are coming. Who are they? I'm like, you know, you remember George and Betty? And finally, he finally remembered, of course. And he starts naming all the facts that prove that he does remember. And he's excited, and he was looking forward to it. And then they text me this morning and said, we're not going to come due to the condition of your dad. And I'm like, well, why'd you tell me that you were coming? Because I wouldn't have told him. That was fine. I get it. It was probably a little more convenient that they didn't come, but I was trying to, you know, find something to give my dad some happiness. And but I was annoyed, right? And, you know, so it's always, these wolves are always coming. I could have really laid into her, and I was just like, you know, I wish you would have told me that before I told him. And she said, sorry, sorry, sorry. I said, it's okay. Have a great trip. But, you know, we got a new day and a new pack of wolves. And but to go back, you know, that was the end. I had to make the amends. And then, you know, he called me back, and I said, I'm sorry, Jim. I said, I apologize. And he goes, it's cool, man. It's cool, man. Love you, man. I was like, okay, man, I love you, man. And I do. I do. That is the problem with, you know, they say, you know, a belly full of beer and a head full of AA is terrible. Well, a head full of AA and a head full of AA is terrible because, you know, if I really want serenity, if I really want to drop the rock, if I really want to find peace, love, and free of fear, if I really want to be in the hands of God, it requires rigorous honesty and humility and willingness. And I have to be willing when I make a mistake, because I will. I am not perfect. When I make a mistake, I have to clean it up. And it doesn't matter how many times I try to justify it and build a case proving that it was a good idea. It never is. And even if it is, I can't get away from the spiritual imbalance inside of my heart. So the best medication is humiliation, right? And that's what I have to do. I have to be humbled, and I have to say, I am sorry. I'm an idiot. I apologize. Please forgive me. I think the world of you. I had a mess up. I had a slip, right? And he did. And so thank God. And now I'm free again. Free, and man, does it feel good to be free, because it was eating me up. All right, my time's running out. Let me do this daily reflections. All right, May 19th, and he well knows that his own life has been made richer as an extra dividend of giving to another without any demand for a return, as Bill sees at page 69. The concept of giving without strings was hard to understand. When I first came into the program, I was suspicious. When others wanted to help me, I thought, what do they want in return? But I soon learned the joy of helping another alcoholic, and I understood why they were there for me in the beginning. My attitudes changed, and I wanted to help others. Sometimes I became anxious, as I wanted them to know the joys of sobriety, that life can be beautiful. That life can be beautiful. When my life is full of a loving God, of my understanding, and I give that love to my fellow alcoholics, I feel a special richness that is hard to explain. Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you letting me share. I'm going to keep trying to be better. I think, you know, it's tough. You know, I'm doing the best I can, but I appreciate you letting me share. I'm going to try to be better, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.